Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Thank you. And also, we will close the door, so we would like to, if you're planning to leave in the next 2 minutes, maybe that's the good time to leave now, because we would like to just have the doors closed for the class, so we can offer this atmosphere to Krishna Katha. And so we'll close the doors. So if you're planning to stay for the class, please maybe come to... We need to close the door, Prabhu. And maybe the rows at the back on the door side, if you could just move a couple of feet, couple of mats forward, so there'll be some room at the back. And we'd like to clear the space near the door. Please, we need to close the door now, so if you're planning to leave, we can't have people walking. And the reason why, and I think we will dedicate maybe this year to create a little bit more understanding about why all these rules about not moving around and not having children, because like we spoke about a few days ago, that sometimes we think when we come to the temple and we've got the goal with this us and this Lord, and we want to go and have darshan, and that's our service, and that's the most important thing. And sometimes we're not aware exactly of things that which are happening around us. And if we come to the temple room and there's a speaker who speaks, and the people who sit down and listen, it looks like nothing is taking place. We think that that's the good moment to come and forward and maybe offer money and take darshan. But what's actually happening, that this moment is one of the most sacred moments in our tradition, and one of the most important devotional service we can render to Krishna, is that when one devotee speaks about Krishna and the rest of the devotees listen about Krishna, which is called Krishna Katha. And this is a very sacred space, so those devotees who talk and those devotees who listen, they actually perform devotional service. So moving around and creating disturbances and talking is actually disturbing devotional service of other people. So we need to respect that moment, and that's why we try. In the last few days, we especially stress on this, and we'll, I think 2013, we'll try to bring more awareness that when you come to the temple and there's a class, please wait till the end of the class, and maybe at the end come and offer the donations and put milk or if you brought some gifts for Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So a very happy and prosperous new year to all of you. Hare Krishna. So how many of you were here for this first part of the seminar on Gaurilila? Okay. How many of you are not here yesterday? Okay, quite a few of you also. Anyway. Yesterday we discussed about who is the Supreme Personality of God. I'm sure here all of you know who is the Supreme Personality of God here. How many of you know who is the Supreme Personality of God here? Please raise your hand. And those who really know, please raise both of your hands. and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare.
So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And that Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. Eternally resides in Vrindavan. His abode is Vrindavan. The spiritual sky is generally known as Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. So Krishna's abode is Vrindavan. And there Krishna performs a very special pastimes to have an intense loving exchange with his devotees, very special devotees, in three specific mellows. What are those three specific mellows? That is predominant in Vrindavan and not available in Vaikuntha. How many of you know? Those three mellows are friendship, parental, and conjugal. There's three special relationships. Krishna deals with the devotees as his friends. He deals with some of his devotees as his father and mother. And some other he deals with as lover and beloved. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. Which means Krishna comes once in 4.32 billion years. And when did that Krishna come last? How many of you know? How many of you remember? When did he come last? 5,000 years ago. Can you imagine 5,000 years out of 4.32 billion years? It's just like a few minutes ago, right? Krishna came and performed his pastimes. And then that same Krishna comes as a devotee. So who is that devotee Krishna? That is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is this identity of this devotee Krishna? This identity of devotee Krishna is Krishna and Radharani together. Not that Krishna is just playing the role of a devotee, but Krishna is playing, he is together with Srimati Radharani. Who is Radharani? Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Potency. So the personality and his potency, is it same or different? It's both. The potency of the person is in one way, it is the same energetic and energy. Because the energetic possesses the energy, therefore he is one. But when the energy and the energetic can also become separated, then they become separate or two. So Krishna and Radha, energy and energetic, are generally separated. That energetic is Krishna, energy is Radha. Pleasure potency is Srimati Radha. But then sometimes energy and energetic become one. And when the energy and energetic become one, then what happens? He becomes, or they become, Sri Chaitanya. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't act like the Supreme Personality of God. How does he act? He acts like the devotee. Like, because he assumes the mood of Srimati Radha. Radharani is the greatest devotee of Krishna. So Krishna assumes the mood of Srimati Radharani, that means Krishna becomes a devotee of Krishna. And that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yesterday we discussed about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and his childhood pastimes when we went all the way up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking initiation from who? Ishwara Puri. His spiritual master is Ishwara Puri. So after he took initiation, he started his Sankirtan movement in the house of Srivastava. And then we discussed about some amazing things that happened during that time. One of the things was Jagai and Madhai, the two worst miscreants, two worst criminals, the most of the most sinful personalities, became devotees of Sri Chaitanya. They were the worst bandits, they were the worst criminal, they were the worst of everything you can think of. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became devotees. What does it indicate? It indicates that no matter how fallen, how sinful one may be, he can become a devotee of Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that his mission actually is not to just stay in one place and execute devotional service with a handful of people. What was the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is actually to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But in order to spread it all over the world, first of all, he had to spread it all over India. Now, those days, there was no TV, there was no cell phone, there was no internet to spread Krishna consciousness movement. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to do? He had to travel all over India to spread the movement. And in order to do that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, the renounced order of life, at the age of 24. At that time, there was a young wife at home and an old mother at home. And there was no male member to take care of them. But in that situation, leaving his old widowed mother and young wife alone at home, unprotected practically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and took sannyas. In this respect, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in this way, leaving his elderly mother and beautiful young wife at home without having any male member in the house. Just these two ladies at home. He left home taking sannyas simply to teach us, simply to assure us, remind us that if we become engaged in serving Krishna, then whatever our responsibilities and liabilities there may be, Krishna will take care of them. So Srila Prabhupada made that point very wonderfully one day, that this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took sannyas in this way, just to show us, just to tell us, that don't worry about what your family responsibilities are. For the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, if you are surrendering yourselves, if you are committing yourselves, you are leaving home and your family members behind, don't worry about them. Krishna will take care of them. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Generally, those days, when one used to take sannyas, he used to leave home forever. And nobody would actually get to see him. Because he would leave home and just keep on traveling from one place of pilgrimage to another. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home in this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his mother's request, he stayed on in Jagannath Puri. He decided, he assured his mother that he would stay in Jagannath Puri so that she would get his news. Because people from Jagannath Puri, from Orissa, generally come to Bengal to take bath in the Ganges, to attend the places of pilgrimage on the bank of the Ganges. And the devotees from Bengal go to Jagannath Puri to attend Jagannath's Rath Yatra festival, or to see Jagannath in Jagannath temple. So that way there is a constant flow of pilgrims from Orissa to Bengal and Bengal to Orissa. So they would be able to carry the news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sachiva. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, but on the way, Nityananda Prabhu, whose activities were quite unpredictable, sometimes he used to behave like a madman, of course without rhyme or reason. Whenever he acted in a certain way, there was some deeper purpose behind that. So, you see, when you take sannyas, you get the danda, the stick. That is symbolic to your sannyas order. A sannyasi carries a danda. So, the symbolic representation of this danda, danda means punishment. Danda in one way means a stick, and danda also means a punishment. In English also you say that. I'll give you a stick. So I'll punish you. So punishment is also called danda. So one accepts sannyas as if he is accepting a voluntary punishment for turning away from Krishna. So that is a symbolic representation of the danda. So Nityananda Prabhu, at once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take bath in the river, and his servant Govinda was holding the danda, and he had to go somewhere. So he told Nityananda Prabhu to hold the danda. And Nityananda Prabhu took the danda and he told, "Dear sir, Mr. Danda, who do you think you are? That the personality who is the Lord of the universe whose lotus feet the greatest of personalities want to place upon their head, why do you think he is going to carry you? The personality of Godhead, who is the carrier of the entire universe, and the entire universe actually carries his order. So why should he carry you? So get lost." Saying that, he broke the danda and threw it in the river. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and asked for his danda, Nityananda Prabhu said, "I broke it and threw it in the river." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely upset. He said, "What do you think my sannyas is? Is it just like a joke that you all are behaving in this way?" Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, wanted to go to Vrindavan, and Nityananda Prabhu misled him and brought him back to Shantipur near Navadvip, so that all the residents of Navadvip can come and meet with him. So you, and now you broke my danda, my only possession. After, for a sannyasi, his only possession actually is the danda. And that also you broke. Anyway, I don't want to be with you all anymore. saying that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just ran alone to Jagannath Temple. So he ran for 25 months from that river to the Jagannath Temple. And coming into the Jagannath Temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic seeing Lord Jagannath that he fainted. And everybody became very concerned, very worried, what happened? And it seemed that there was no life in his body. His fainting was so intense. His losing of consciousness was so intense that it seemed as if there is no life in his body. So at that time, one very great, very exalted personality called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there in the temple, who was the greatest scholar in the court of the king. And he also came from Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, could recognize that he is an extremely exalted personality. And the symptoms that he was displaying, these are actually the ecstatic symptoms of devotion to the Lord that have been described in the scriptures, which he never experienced before, but he read in the scriptures that out of intense devotion, one experienced these 8 kinds of physical transformations. Ashtashakti Vikara. Body undergoes 8 kinds of symptoms, like tears come streaming down their eyes, out of ecstasy, out of their love for the Lord. The hairs don't stand in air on end. The body begin to tremble. And the final thing is that fainting, murcha, that one faints, as if one is dead. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took some cotton wool and he placed in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nose, and he could see that the cotton wool was softly moving. From that he could make out that he was still alive. He was not dead. So it was just out of his ecstasy in seeing the Lord, he has fainted, as if there is no external consciousness. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya carried Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had his followers and disciples with him. So he asked them to carry Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. So he took unconscious Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a young sannyasi, into his house. Extremely handsome, very tall. He was almost 7 feet high. And he had the molten golden complexion, beautiful form, lotus-like eyes, practically stretched up to his ears, such large lotus-like eyes. And now in the meantime, Mahaprabhu's followers, Nityananda Prabhu and others, while searching for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came to Jagannath Temple. They knew that Mahaprabhu would come to Jagannath. And when they inquired, they found that one young sannyasi fainted in the temple, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his home. So they went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and they found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still unconscious. So they started a kirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And as soon as Mahaprabhu heard the holy name, he gradually came back to his external. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was told who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Especially Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law. So Sarvam Bhattacharya, the brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, a very exalted Brahmana, who knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Navadvipa. So Gopinath Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya, a very, very great personality, an erudite scholar, considered to be the greatest exponent of Vedanta philosophy of India at that time. So when Gopinath Acharya told that this personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarvam Bhattacharya couldn't accept it. He said, I accept that he is an undoubtedly a very, very exalted personality. But Supreme Personality of Godhead, come on, give me a break. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya gave a scriptural evidence also. He said the Lord is known as three yuga, that means he appears in three yugas. In Kali Yuga the Lord doesn't appear. But Gopinath Acharya pointed out that the Lord is known as three yuga because in other ages he comes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in the age of Kali, he doesn't come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather he comes as a devotee. And he also told him, you know, Sarvam Bhattacharya, one can recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So since you haven't received his mercy, you cannot understand who he is. But Sarvam Bhattacharya did not take his words seriously. After all, he was his brother-in-law. So Sarvam Bhattacharya said, look, I am a little concerned about this young man, young sannyasa. He is so young, at the age of 24 he took sannyas. And he is so handsome. Okay, that would have been also alright had he been a little serious about his sannyas. He is not serious about his sannyas. He dances and he laughs. So that is not the way a sannyasi behaves. A sannyasi should be grave and serious. He is not. He seems to be so frivolous. So he won't be able to maintain his sannyas. I'm afraid that he won't be able to maintain his sannyas order. Anyway, I will make him fix up in his sannyas by teaching him Vedanta philosophy. So Gopinath Acharya became extremely upset. He said, what are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Do you know who he is? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, he is my well-wisher. For my own benefit, he wants to teach me. So yes, I will accept his teaching. I will study Vedanta from him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to study Vedanta from Sarvam Bhattacharya. So for 7 days, Sarvam Bhattacharya taught him, explained Vedanta philosophy to him. But for 7 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just listened without saying anything. He just sat there listening. No response, no question. No appreciation and affirmation. He just sat there like stone. So Sarvam Bhattacharya considered, like, is he understanding what I'm saying? So he asked him, Krishna Chaitanya, do you understand what I'm saying? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand the sutras, I understand the Vedanta aphorisms of the Vedanta, but I can't understand your explanations of that aphorism. Sarvam Bhattacharya was surprised. He says, in order to simplify the aphorisms, I am giving the explanation. And you are saying that you understand the aphorisms, sutras, but you don't understand my commentary, my explanation. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, actually, with all due respect, sir, your explanations are not clarifying the meaning, but your explanation is covering the meaning. What you are saying is not explaining, is not simplifying, is not revealing, but it is covering. So they got into a Sarvam Bhattacharya with real upset. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to explain, to elaborate one verse. That verse says, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Pi Urukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Gunamrahi. Atma Ramascha Munayo, the self-realized soul, who derive their joy from within, not from without, from material things, but those who are spiritually situated and derived, those who are completely withdrawn from the material nature, and those who derive their joy from within, from their spiritual source, although they are completely free from all material entanglements, nirgrantha, urukrame kudvanti ahaitati, they render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of God. So he asked him to explain that verse. So Sarvam Bhattacharya gave so many explanations of that verse. Then he asked, so what is your explanation? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, I think Sarvam Bhattacharya gave 8 explanations and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 18 explanations, not even touching the explanation that Sarvam Bhattacharya gave. The essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation was that the devotional service is so high, is so lofty. Devotional service to Krishna is beyond the state of liberation. Yes, the liberated souls, they do not derive any pleasure from material entanglements, material involvements, material sense gratification. They derive their joy from within, from their spiritual situation. This is the state of liberation. And even after liberation, one becomes engaged in the service. It is something like a prisoner can become free from the prison house. When he is in the prison, he may think that to get out of the prison is the ultimate goal of life. But when he goes out of the prison, then what? He'll have to do something to maintain himself, to become active. Now, of all activities, if that prisoner gets this opportunity to serve the king, what can be a greater engagement than that? So this material nature is like a prison house. Liberation is like getting out of the material nature. But when one goes out of the material nature, then what is going to do? Eat and sleep. Even to eat and sleep, he'll have to have a source of income, isn't it? He'll have to do something, right? Now, of all the activities in the material, in the situation outside the prison, which one is the most coveted? Which one is the most wonderful service? To be engaged in the service of the king, isn't it? So that is how wonderful devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. So this way Sarvam Bhattacharya was defeated. The greatest scholar of that time is defeated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He whom he considered just a young, sentimental, frivolous individual. Sarvam Bhattacharya's pride was completely devastated. It must have been a very proud person because he is the greatest scholar of India. Sarvam Bhattacharya went to his room, locked it up from inside, and he was crying. In the middle of the night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. And he revealed his identity, displaying him the six-armed form. He showed his six arms, four arms of Narayan. Narayan has four arms. In those four arms, what does Narayan carry? Narayan carries conch shell, lotus, mess and disc. And in two arms he was carrying the danda and water pot, the stick and water pot of a sannyasi, indicating that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Narayan himself. And then he also showed him in his four arms, two arms he was carrying the bow and arrow of Lord Ramchandra. In two arms he was carrying the flute of Krishna, he was playing the flute, and in two arms he was carrying the sannyas danda and the water pot of a sannyasi. So this is how Sarvam Bhattacharya finally could recognize who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya, in the praise, in glorification, as his prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, composed 100 verses. It begins with Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhartham Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Jastamah Prapati. Vairagya Vidya, in order to teach the science of renunciation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared in order to teach the devotion, his own devotion, Nija Bhakti, to teach us the devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kripam Budhir Jastamaham Prapati. He is an ocean of mercy. And I surrender myself unto him. So in this way we can see Sarvam Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of India at that time, although he did not want to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, recognized him and surrendered himself to him. In this way, time and time again, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we have seen, or we will see, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a kind of God who becomes God by some popular vote or popular presentation, sentimental presentation. Like we find nowadays, so many gods are there. Like here, the greatest scholar of India at that time, at first he didn't want to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. And he gave the scriptural understanding that he cannot be God. But then he recognized him. Another such wonderful example was King Pratap Rudra. King Pratap Rudra was the king of Odisha at that time. A very powerful king. At that time, although practically all of India was under the Muslim domination, Pratap Rudra was the only king, only Hindu king the Muslims could not actually subdue. Next. extremely powerful king and a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. So Chaitanya, he also at first could not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord. Because seeing him, it was not possible to understand, recognize him that way. Although he is, one can see that he was a very handsome person, very beautiful. But he was hiding his identity as the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore he was simply playing the role of a human being, as a devotee, not even as God, but as a devotee. And therefore it was not possible for him, for anyone to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although his devotees were telling that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, King Prataparudra, could not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri and he went for to travel to South India, and in the meantime, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, he came to a village, he came to a place called Kurmakshetra, and in Kurmakshetra Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to spend the night, sometimes he would spend the night in some Brahmana's house. He would come to a place and for a night he would stay in a Brahmana's house, and then the next morning he would move on. So he came to Kurmakshetra and he took the invitation, he accepted the invitation of a Brahmana to stay in his house. And Mahaprabhu used to spend the whole night talking about Krishna. The whole day he used to travel, and then at night he used to stop at some place, people used to gather there, and he used to speak about Krishna to them. And then he used to tell them. In this way, just talking to them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to make them into devotees of Krishna. And then he used to tell them, now you go and preach this message to others. And they would go to their respective places and they would spread Krishna consciousness. And in this way, other people would become devotees of Krishna. Then they would tell them, now you go and spread this message to whoever you meet. So in this way, Krishna consciousness movement was spreading. Mahaprabhu would instruct somebody, they would instruct others, and they would instruct others. In this way, Krishna consciousness movement was spreading. So this way Mahaprabhu used to spend the whole night talking to people, hardly taking any rest. And then in the morning, he would take his bath and he would leave. So in this village, there was a Brahmana whose name was Vasudeva. And he was a very exalted Brahmana, but unfortunately he developed leprosy. Very advanced stage of leprosy. His whole body was eaten up. There were ulcers. Now, leprosy is a kind of ulcer that eats up the body, the flesh, even the bone. Start to melt away. And in his body, in his ulcers, there were insects, worms. They used to eat the decomposed flesh, which as it is, leprosy is very painful, and these insects and worms used to eat up his body. So it was even more painful. But Vasudeva was such a compassionate person that he did not protest against these insects and worms eating up his body. He didn't try to get rid of them because he considered it their food. If my body can become their food, let it be. So much so that if some insects fell off from his wound, then he would pick it up and put it back on the face. Such a exalted, such a wonderful Vaishnava. So Vasudev got to know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to their village. But he got the news a little late. He got the news in the morning. And he ran to meet the Lord. But when he came to the house of this Brahmana, he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. So he was so heartbroken that the Supreme Personality of Godhead came so close, yet he could not see him. So he just started to cry piteously, rolling on the ground. The Lord came so close to me and I couldn't see him. Now in the meantime, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked quite a distance, he came back. And he picked up Vasudev from the ground and he embraced him. And just by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's touch, not only Vasudev's leprosy got cured, but he got a divine body as beautiful as that of a demigod. And Vasudev started to lament, "My Lord, when this body was rotten with leprosy, it was better because I was not allured to sense gratification. Now that I got this beautiful body, healthy body, strong body, I'll become attracted to sense gratification." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him, "Don't worry about it. This material allurements is not going to affect you by any chance." So King Prataprudra got to know about that incident. And Prataprudra now recognized that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he admitted that there had been instances when many exalted saintly personalities cured a leper. There have been such instances, but none of them embraced the leper with his ulcer. So this kind of compassion can be displayed only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the father of all living. Then King Prataprudra became interested to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back, King Prataprudra wanted to meet with him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. He said that a sannyasi's business is not to see a king. Sannyasi should not associate with a king. A king is a gross materialist. So a sannyasi should not associate with him. Mahaprabhu's associates tried to convince him that King Prataprudra, although he is a king, but he is a very exalted devotee. He is a devotee of Lord Jagannath. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Maybe, but his designation as a king is preventing him from meeting with me, or preventing me from meeting with him." So King Prataprudra became so heartbroken, like he was telling, requesting all of Mahaprabhu's associates. He's a king, so many of his intimate associates were Mahaprabhu's very, very close associates, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, Shikhi Mahiti. So when they appealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Please give your darshan to the king," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Look, if you keep on insisting like that, then I am going to leave this place. You all stay with the king. I'll be leaving." So everybody became afraid that they didn't want Mahaprabhu to leave. So they stopped to persuade him to see the king anymore. And the king was so heartbroken, and he said, okay, then I'll give up my kingdom and I will become a sannyasi. So that also people didn't want, that the king should give up his kingdom and become a mendicant, become a sannyasi. So then they decided one thing, they convinced the king that, look, your son is your extension. You are actually in your son. So if your son meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that will be like your meeting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that proposal. He accepted to meet the prince. And that was a very beautiful, very sweet meeting. It was a handsome boy with dark complexion. And seeing him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's awareness of recollections of Krishna dawned in his mind. And he had a very sweet exchange with this boy. And then came the Ratha Yatra festival. At the Ratha Yatra festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot. In 7 groups, the devotees were chanting the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in all 7 groups. Like every single group saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in his group. And so then the Jagannath's chariot came to Balgandhi on the way to the Gundicha temple where Jagannath goes for 7 days, 8 days. So when the chariot stopped at Balgandhi, a place in the halfway between Jagannath temple and Gundicha temple, where the chariot of Lord Jagannath stops and for, and Jagannath there accepts all the offerings of the devotees. So while chariot stopped in Balgandhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the adjacent garden and he laid down under a tree. So when he was lying down under the tree, King Prataprudra came to him, not as a king, disguised as an ordinary farmer, dressed as an ordinary farmer. And he started to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And while he was massaging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, he started to sing one song. Some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that verse, he jumped up in ecstasy and he embraced him and he told him, indeed, indeed, that is the greatest devotee. That verse is Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jivanam Kobi Bhir Iritam Kalma Shavaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhubi Grinanti Ye Bhubi Dajana. Meaning, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. This song was sung by the gopis in Vrindavan. Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance all of a sudden. And the gopis were searching for Krishna at the dead of the night in the forest of Vrindavan. Searching for Krishna, they came to the bank of Jamuna. And there they started to express their heart's agony due to their separation from Krishna. So that is described in the 31st chapter of the 10th canto. And this chapter is known as Gopi Gita. And the 9th verse is this, that is describing, my Lord, the nectarian words about your activities and teachings relieves one from the suffering condition of his material existence. These words are sung by the greatest of the personalities, the greatest of devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, Kobi Bhiri Dito. These nectarian words relieves one from all his sinful reactions. Just by hearing these words, one receives all auspiciousness, all benedictions. And those who sing these glorious words of yours and teachings of yours all over the world, he is indeed the most munificent all personalities. So, and that actually, Pratap Rudra's point was that you are so merciful, you are distributing Krishna consciousness all over the world. You are offering it to everybody. But King Pratap Rudra is so unfortunate that he will be deprived of this mercy of yours. You will benefit, you will bestow your mercy upon everybody excepting me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it in a way that those who spread the glory of Krishna consciousness all over the world is the most munificent personality. Now this way we can see, although it was sung 500 years ago, who is the one who distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world? Or who was destined, who was assigned to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world? Srila Prabhupada. So we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a way was forecasting Srila Prabhupada's appearance. And he jumped up and he embraced King Pratap Rudra, whom he didn't even want to see. He just embraced him, saying that in Puridam, yes, the one who distributes Krishna consciousness all over the world is indeed the most munificent, the most munificent. So, we'll sing this verse.
Yes.
And are you all ready to sing it also with me? Tabo Katha Marita Tapta Shiva Kobi Bhirita Kalma Shapa So this song was originally sung by the gopis, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appreciated it, but eventually we can see that this is broadcasting the glory of Srila Prabhupada. So yesterday I did not take any question, and I told you all, if you have some question, I will answer them today. So we have a few minutes still. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
We see that in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were very exalted scholars like Keshav Kashmiri and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Keshav Kashmiri was even blessed by Goddess of Learning, Saraswati. So why is that he was so proud of his learning? I mean, where was the learning if he was blessed by Saraswati?
Okay. So the question is that we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that many of the personalities who came, who appeared in his pastimes, were very exalted personalities like Keshav Kashmiri, who was personally blessed by or benedicted by the Goddess of Learning, Saraswati. But still, why they were so proud? Okay, this is the material nature. As long as you dwell in the material nature, the more exalted you become, the more puffed up you become. Whereas, on the spiritual platform, the more advancement you make, the more advanced you become, the more humble you become. So that's the difference between material and spiritual. So these personalities, as long as they were situated on the material platform, they were very, very arrogant. They were very proud of themselves, their exalted position, their inconceivable accomplishments. But when they became devotees, they became extremely humble. So that is the difference between material and spiritual nature. Any other question? Okay, you are quite far. You have to tell me, you have to say quite loudly.
Maharaj, you said that Chaitanya Prabhu revealed himself to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. India has a kind, even those times India was so much occupied with impersonalism and Mayavad. So if someone like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was such a learned scholar all over India, actually recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why didn't the whole of India take up devotional service, and why was he still sticking to
it? Yeah, good, very good question. Yeah, so you see, those days the communication was not so advanced. Like what happened in Jagannath Puri did not reach Kashmir or Delhi, right? The people in that vicinity only they became aware. And in course of time, the news actually was carried by others. For example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's becoming a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or from impersonalism, him accepting, you know, devotional service, the news actually reached others in course of time, and they became very upset. For example, Prakashananda Saraswati, right? Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of all the sannyasis, Mayavadi sannyasis in Benares. And his grievance against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that this character turned Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into devotee. So he's our arch enemy. That's how he actually considered, that's why he was insulting, speaking bad about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. But then also we see, when Prakashananda Saraswati met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what happened? He also became transformed. So in this way, by transforming all these great personalities from impersonalists into devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually established Krishna consciousness all over India. Thank you. You have a question?
Good much. We see someone like Nityananda Prabhu display sort of...
Say it loudly so that everybody can hear.
We see that Nityananda Prabhu and sometimes some of his other associates, their behavior can be considered mad. So what is the difference between madness due to Krishna prema and sort of other types of madness?
Okay, very good question. We can sometimes we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees are also behaving like a madman. Now, what is the difference between their madness and material madness, a lunatic's madness? They're two opposite extremes. Sometimes the opposite extremes appear to be alike, but they're diametrically opposed. Like, for example, doesn't sunrise and sunset look similar, look alike? But is sunrise and sunset the same? Similarly, these two kinds of extremes. One is, you see, like if we consider our material condition as normal, that is the level, then there is some activities that are below normal and above normal. So below normal and above normal appear to be the same. Like those who can't relate to this material nature, they are known as abnormal, right, or mad. But devotees in ecstasy, when they transcend the material platform and their behavior is on the spiritual platform, they also do not relate to the material nature. Therefore, it appears to be like madness. But it is not madness, it is super consciousness. One is like below normal, and the other one is super normal.
Can one attribute any rationality to that type of ecstatic?
Rationality according to what standard? Material standard? No. That's why it's called madness.
According to logical standard? Or?
Because it is not rational, that's why it's madness. But the thing is, it's not an activity of this plane. It is of another plane. So if you want to rationalize it, then you have to go to that plane. Then only you'll be able to rationalize. Not rationalize from this platform. Okay, last question. Okay, last two questions.
From the age of 24,
yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, till the end of his time on earth, was a sannyasi. So then why is he addressed as Mahaprabhu?
Mahaprabhu means the great master. Who is the great master? Yeah, so he is Krishna himself. Okay, what's your question?
Maharaj, you said that while Nityananda Prabhu sometimes appeared bad, there was always a deeper reason behind his activities. So what was the deeper reason behind
his... The deeper reason is his love for Krishna. In his love for Krishna, he was behaving in that way. Or whatever he did, like for example, he broke the danda. Apparently he broke the danda. It was an inappropriate act. But why did he do that? He felt Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should he bear any punishment himself? Like this punishment is to turn against the Lord, because because he turned away from God, away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he accepts the voluntary punishment, you can say, by accepting sannyas. He rejects, he renounces all material things. So his point is that why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept the punishment? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so get lost. So he broke the danda and threw it away. Thank you. Do you want to make an announcement? We have a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I would just like to thank you very much for your wonderful classes and the last few days of your association. And it's been great mercy of Radha Gopinath that years ago you made this a regular destination, Sydney, and we don't know how we deserved this kindness and this mercy of Radha Gopinath, but it's been a great pleasure to be in your association. And you spoke so beautifully about Srila Prabhupada a few days ago, and definitely Prabhupada's achievements are beyond any material calculation. And we can see externally what Prabhupada achieved, but the spiritual merits of what Prabhupada done is will be probably a task for many spiritual scientists to apprehend and understand for generations. And we can see that one of the biggest achievements trying to understand Prabhupada's, what Prabhupada done, is that Prabhupada left behind wonderful devotees like Maharaj. And this is Prabhupada. It's maybe not physically present here as he was when he was preaching here, but we can still feel the mercy and teachings of Srila Prabhupada through his disciples. And I personally, each time I meet Maharaj, and this is maybe my childish imagination, but I imagine that this is how Prabhupada was. And I think that the way Maharaj explains and the way he understands and his amazing memory, it's incredible. And Maharaj comes from the same place as Prabhupada, and I believe a similar background, and the way Maharaj explains and interacts with people, it's incredible and very personal, and I believe that this is how Prabhupada dealt with the bodies. And so Maharaj, thank you very much, and please forgive us for any offences or inconveniences, and we'll be really privileged if you keep coming to Sydney. Swalinas Bhakti Charamaj, Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shishiradha Gopinath Ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi Jai.